Verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. After a long time apart from one another, over these Sundays, we're taking a fresh look at our life together, one with another. We've explored various aspects of how, as a church, we are to be towards one another. And to add to these, we are now told here in verse 16, live in harmony with one another. One of the joys of gathering in person is once again being able to lift our voices together in song. We're each singing different notes, some of us very different notes, but as they sound out simultaneously, a pleasing harmony results. There's a depth and texture that is never experienced when singing alone. Singing together as a congregation, that, as a picture, begins to scratch the surface of what the Apostle Paul is getting at as he tells us to live in harmony with one another. Earlier this week, I spotted this advert on a tube train. It read, "If you'd rather box set and chill than see your friends, we'll support you ergonomically and emotionally." Well, box setting and chilling may have been a lifestyle some of us have eased into over the past 18 months. And here's a business willing to support us in that. What are they selling? Mattresses. Friends, we can't be or do church from a mattress, however appealing the thought of it may be. Even that tube advert gets that a choice is to be made. We need to be with one another. But, you say, things are so much more harmonious when I stay apart from others. All those awkward encounters and strange conversations avoided. No one will then offend me or be offended by me. Oh, the bliss. Really? Is that really the case? We've never before had more choice over who we listen to as we've had during lockdown. When we agree with what one person is saying, we've turned up the volume. At the same time, when we disagree with what the next person is saying, we've put them on mute. So we've perhaps found ourselves engaging with a narrower pool of people than ever before, if we haven't gone still further and retreated into our own echo chamber. All that then reaches us across the airwaves is monotony. That may hold some promise of bliss, but seldom before have opposing opinions been vented with such arrogance and hate as we've been seeing during lockdown. So one thing a person never achieves in isolation from others is harmony. If it is to be experienced at all, it will be right there as we gather together as church, joining our many voices in song, even voices sounding very different notes. Yet the harmony about which Paul is concerned here in verse 16 isn't something that we generate ourselves. It isn't man-made. It is God-given. It comes to us in Christ through the gospel. And although our singing together outwardly pictures this harmony in a beautiful way, what Paul is referring to is an inward change that only the gospel can bring about. By it, our lives start resonating with one another on the deepest possible level. Let's explore this together. We'll do so by looking carefully at what Paul writes on either side of our text. Look first with me at verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. At a glance, this may seem something we all do naturally. When someone bursts into laughter, we may soon find ourselves giggling along. When another breaks into weeping, we may soon find ourselves shedding a tear with them. But laughter and tears are only two of the possible symptoms of rejoicing and mourning. They are pointers to what the person is experiencing in the depths of their being, which may or may not express itself outwardly. Are we those who empathize not only at the surface level, But in the depths, do we truly rejoice and mourn with one another? Another's joy being our joy, the other's mourning our mourning. If we're honest with ourselves, the reality is often much shallower. There will have been times when, rather than being glad when another is rejoicing, we've been mad at their joy for whatever reason. There will have been times when, rather than being sad that another is mourning, we've been glad at their sorrow, again, for whatever reason. Rather than my life resonating with your life in those circumstances, a discordant note has sounded. We've not lived in harmony with one another. Why is that? There's a troubling obstacle that stands in the way of our being able to truly live in harmony with one another. It's an obstacle which, so long as it goes unchallenged, will disrupt our harmony at every turn. What is it? Look with me at the bookends of our passage. The first and last words we heard read. Verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." Verse 16, towards the end, "Do not be conceited." This section of Romans 12 begins and ends saying the same thing. What is it that Paul wants us to have nothing more to do with? Pride. That is what keeps us from living in harmony with one another. Pride. Think on how pride works. It is being, at the very least, overly preoccupied with yourself, if it hasn't already led to you becoming totally absorbed in yourself. Pride is self-infatuation that leads to such an over-inflated opinion of yourself that, in your orbit, you are the most important person alive. A life so turned in upon itself has very little awareness of anyone else, and certainly has precious little left to give anyone else. Pride ensures that in every gathering, you're the one sounding the discordant note. And tragically, pride keeps us forever at a distance from one another, so that our lives are unable to resonate with one another at any deep and meaningful way. When it comes to both mourning and rejoicing, we're left on the outside. Pride, then, is something that needs killing. And for the Apostle Paul, that death is brought about by a change of thinking. Indeed, all that he has to say to us here in Romans chapter 12 turns on that. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," is what he tells us towards the outset in verse 2. At root, what is pride? To put it at its most succinct, we could say, pride is simply faith in yourself. Faith in yourself. Hold on to that for a moment. Look now with me at the second part of verse 16. "Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position." One thing that a proud person will be unable to do is associate with people of low position, because that's too much of a challenge to their way of thinking. Pride is always about exalting the self, and you don't go high by first going low. Indeed, you avoid going low at all costs. Nothing could be more counterintuitive than willingly associating with people of low position. It's a lonely path the proud person treads. The further along it you progress. Yet, then we see Jesus. With Jesus Christ, we have the one man who, verse 3, could never think more highly of himself than he ought, who, verse 16, could never be in danger of conceit, because not only is there no one higher, it isn't possible to occupy a greater height. Jesus is the one who enjoys equality with God. This God took upon himself the nature of a servant and associated with the lowest of the low. Why? Not simply because he knew that going low is the way to ultimately go high, although he did know that. There's something deeper still at work. When the apostle writes here in verse 16, be willing to associate with people of low position, that word associate doesn't refer simply to a casual rubbing of shoulders or even a free choice. It is to be carried away with. At times, all of us find ourselves having to say, sorry, I got carried away. It might be in that meeting when you've found yourself gazing absently out of the window, or in that important conversation when you've suddenly switched into daydream mode, or perhaps when working to that deadline, getting lost in an irrelevant social media feed. Sorry, I got carried away. Here, Paul has in mind a carrying away which is neither trivial nor a distraction, and needs no apology. When you enter a crowd of strangers, who do you gravitate towards? That's the idea here. It's to be acted upon, to be drawn towards. Something much deeper than choice is at work here. Rather like a magnet becoming captive to another's magnetic field, you find yourself inexorably drawn towards them. But drawn towards who? Jesus, throughout his earthly life, at every turn, found himself carried away with those of low position. Even as his disciples and the religious leaders encouraged him to course correct and aim high, he continued to aim low. The sick and the impoverished, the widows and the orphans. It's almost as if he couldn't help himself. And that tells us all we need to know about him, who he is at heart. Where the lowly were to be found, that's where Jesus finds himself. Where the lowly were headed, that's where Jesus heads himself. It's these with whom Jesus resonates at the deepest level. It's these with whom Jesus lives in harmony. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. When a choir rehearses for a performance, they have decisions to make on whether to pitch high or pitch low. Similarly, a direction is to be set when it comes to living out our lives. In this other sense, we are to pitch them low. The proud person eventually finds themselves treading a very lonely path. But the person who pitches low will never be without friends. And when it comes to difference, this is truly the most inclusive stance towards others that you could ever take. Life will never be monotonous or idle as we are carried away with people of marginal social, ethnic, and economic backgrounds. Why, someone may even get carried away with you or me. This is the kind of harmony that we are to live out one with another in the church. Note, the low referred to there in verse 16 can refer to lowly things as well as lowly people. So the invitation is also for us to come down from on high, recognizing that nothing is beneath us. No task too lowly. When given the opportunity to serve. What areas of service do you gravitate towards? In this coming year, there's a beautiful picture to be painted as each of us pitches our service in the church towards those in the lowest positions and serving in the lowest tasks. A still more beautiful harmony will then sound out in our life together. For that to happen, first, any lingering pride must be killed. How do we do that? Recall that pride, at its simplest, can be said to be faith in yourself. The antidote to this, the only possible antidote, is faith in Christ. One faith must give way to the other. In other words, that self-preoccupation that we all know so well must give way to Christ's preoccupation. Instead of getting carried away with ourselves, we need to get carried away from ourselves. Our lives need to start to resonate with Jesus' life in the deepest possible way. Our self-exaltation, then giving way to Christ's exaltation. That revolutionizes our thinking. Previously, we thought that life was about sacrificing others so that we could get ahead ourselves. Now you see, from Jesus himself, that life is about sacrificing yourself so that others can get ahead. When lifting up, promoting, exalting yourself was your main concern, you unavoidably found yourself looking down on others. So inevitably, there were people you wouldn't associate with, who you'd consciously or unconsciously avoid. But when you've truly given up that project, you'll be the first to admit that there is no one lower than you. You'll delight to count yourself among the very lowest. You'll recognize that as the very best place to be. Why? Because you are then among precisely those who Jesus is drawn to, those who Jesus himself gets carried away with. Oh, to think that this Jesus gets carried away with you and me. Suddenly, you'll find it impossible to look down on anyone anymore. It will also be inevitable that you find yourself associating with anyone and everyone. For the lives of all those whose faith is in Christ have begun to resonate with one another at the very deepest level. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. In Christ, this is both a promise and a command. What is impossible out there in the world shouldn't just be possible, but ought to be the reality in the church. Lord, make it so here at All Souls. Amen.